Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Good morning. Lots of great energy happening in this room this morning as we prepare our hearts to worship God. If this is your first time with us or you've been here your whole life, we welcome you to this time of worship. Your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars and all sorts of opportunities to live out your faith. If you have any questions about those or our service this morning, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder at the communion table following worship this morning. A few additional announcements that I have. First, if you will get your bulletin, look inside your bulletin, see the yellow piece of paper. The hymnals are coming. The hymnals are coming. And anyone who has been around me the past few weeks knows that I'm very excited about this. And we are not exactly sure when they will be here, but we are hoping it will be soon. And when they do arrive, we would like to have an opportunity to celebrate and say goodbye to the blue ones and also welcome the new ones. And so as part of that worship service, I would like to be able to incorporate as many favorite congregational hymns from our current hymnal. So if you would, during announcement time, and really, it's okay, at any point in the service, flip through that blue one. Where are your favorites? Write them down. And if you would place those yellow pieces of paper in the offering plate, that way I can gather them and use them to put that service together. And yes, if you are concerned about what's happening to those blue hymnals, I've heard many folks ask, read your September Harbinger. It's all in there, I assure you. Also, exciting things going on in the life of the congregation. Next Sunday is our potluck, so bring your own table service and beverage and a dish to share, and we will eat together following worship. All right, Carrie.
Good morning. Today we'll be continuing on our journey, our healing journey to the Westside YMCA, where we will do yoga, massage therapy, and qigong. So be sure to wear comfortable clothing. Yoga mats will be provided. This starts at 4 p.m. today. Also, this Thursday night at 7 p.m., we will be traveling to Greece, New York, not Greece the country, to learn about the healing art of Reiki. And if you would like to attend these programs and still haven't signed up, please see me. I'll be at the communion table after worship. Thank you.
Linda.
Good morning. Our 4th, 5th, and 6th grade Sunday school class will no longer meet in room 2, but in the junior high room due to the volume between the classes. So from now on, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade Sunday school class will meet in the junior high lounge down this hall.
I know, I still have you. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. Keith's ready to go. Because there's one additional announcement that I would like for us all to know about and to celebrate, if you have not seen it in your bulletin. On Thursday, our associate pastor, Carol Ann Strawbridge, will celebrate 20 years of her ordination. So please welcome me in celebrating her. And yes, Carol Ann was ordained in this sanctuary, so great honor to celebrate with you. Keith?
I have two announcements and a challenge. I want you to count in my two announcements the number of ways we're blessed as children of God. So start counting. First announcement is the Wheelathon coming up on Sunday, October 6th. This is a 20-mile bike ride from Greece to Parrington that our youth do to raise money. Somebody mentioned that the pledge collection that has started today is kind of like feeding seagulls. So that's pretty descriptive. But that'll be going on. So make pledges. Come out and ride with us if you'd like to. Everybody's welcome to ride with us. It's not just for the kids. Everybody can ride. Or just join us for the picnic at the end of the ride in Parrington. I know a lot of times things on the east side of the river feel like it's Syracuse, but it's really not that far. It's just Parrington. It's not that far. So that's Sunday, October 6th. My second announcement, I'm really, really happy to announce that we did receive from one of our members a contribution to the Protect the Vision that will pay off that loan that we have with the Presbytery. So big thanks for that. This loan was taken out 3 years ago. If you remember, it was for repairing this roof over the sanctuary, repairing our wonderful clinker bricks, and buying a new copier for the office. So thank you very much to everybody that has been pledging over the last 3 years, whether you pledged 1, 2, or 3 years. We appreciate that so much. And thanks for everybody that helped on the committee. We've had several people coming and going on the committee working on that. And a special thanks, too, to the trustees. I'd like to give a round of applause for our trustees. They're doing a great job at the church. So what was your count for blessings? A whole bunch, right? Good. Thanks.
And what even more reason to celebrate next week at the potluck than a fulfillment of the commitment of Protect the Vision? Many thanksgivings, prayers of thanksgiving to God and to all of you for those contributions. Now, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand, if you are able, for the call to worship. As we gather for worship this morning, we all come from different places. Some of us come from lamenting over dismay in our lives. Others of us come with joy. God has done some great things. No matter what place we come from, we are praising God because we know that God is the one who has the answer to us all. In God's presence, we find hope for our hurt. Praise the Lord. God raises us all from the depths of our darkness. Praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its setting, let us praise the Lord.
Indeed, from many places we come to gather in worship. One of those places in which many of us gather is our own brokenness and our hurts. And we bring them to this community and to God in honesty and openness. Let us join in the prayer of confession. Our world is hurting in so many ways. Injustice lurks in the shadows and glares at us in broad daylight. For the ways in which we participate in the worship of wealth and glorification of greed, leading to homeless people under freeways and hungry children in our schools, forgive us. For our apathy towards destabilized nations, exploding grenades, and polarizing political rhetoric, forgive us. We aren't sure there is anything that will heal us. God of our salvation, help us. God desires for us all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth that there is forgiveness. Through the love of Jesus Christ, we know nothing can separate us from the love of God. Thanks be to God.
Great day, the righteous watching.
Great day,
oh,
once
the
outside is
born. Great smoke and the chariot star. Great day. Set his people free. Great day. Great day. Great day. Great day.
So let's give her a response to that great anthem. So when I say three, I want you to yell out as loud as you can. It's a great day. Ready? One, two, three.
It's a great day.
All right. Good. I wanted to talk to you this morning about prayer. When we pray, we're talking to God. You know, you don't need fancy words, and it doesn't have to be an exact prayer. You just talk to God like you talk to anybody else. And there are lots of reasons to talk to God. Like, if you're feeling sad, maybe you'd like to ask God for a little help. And if you're feeling happy, you can tell God that you're feeling happy and thank God for what's making you so happy. And let's say maybe you did something naughty. You can ask God for forgiveness. There's another reason to pray, and that's to pray for other people. Let's see. You could pray perhaps for your teacher. You could pray even for people that you may not think about praying. Let's say the trash man, the garbage man, the man that picks up your trash and makes your life better. Could pray for the trash collector. You know, I brought you something today. It's called a picture prayer. I'm going to send it home with you, and what I'd like for you to do is every day think of somebody you would like to pray for other than yourself and draw a picture, or you can just write their name if you'd rather. You know, I started mine this morning because I'm going to do it with you. And here's the picture I drew. You can see I'm not a great artist. You agree? Yeah. You know who all these people are? That's exactly right. Good. They're you. I'm going to pray for you all day long. I'm going to pray that you have a great day. I'm going to pray that you have a good time in church school this morning. All day long, I'm going to pray for you. And here's what I'm going to do. When you leave, I'm going to leave with you and take these to your teacher and ask your teacher to give them to you after Sunday school. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for listening to us. Remind us in our hearts to talk to you. Amen. You may go to your classes now.
First reading of the scriptures is from Jeremiah. And if you've read Jeremiah, some people call it the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Maybe a little depressing for some of us to read. But this morning, Jeremiah is praying for his people. His heart is broken for his people. I think maybe you could identify with Jeremiah this morning of what has happened in our country, our community, and our world. Join me in listening to the Word of God. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we're not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people.
leave your hymnals open to 394. Set them in your lap, set them next to you if there is room, but just leave them open to that hymn for a little while. Our second reading from the Word, comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. For this was attested at the right time, and for this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, says Paul, a teacher of the Gentiles, in faith and in truth. The hymn we sang is one that I know for me stays in my soul. It's one that I'll find myself singing after we've sung it in worship. And it's one that carries its own divine way in each of us. So as you have it open, I invite us to just sing a cappella, so don't worry. I see Chris sitting back down. We're going to sing a cappella, just the refrain, those first two lines.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead.
Them open. Following yet another mass shooting in our country on Monday at a Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., political commentator and nightly television host on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, took her audience through more than 60 years of mass shootings in the United States. Take or leave her politics, the facts that she reveals are just facts. The timeline begins in 1949, when a local Camden, New Jersey man started walking up and down the streets of his neighborhood, shooting people with a pistol he bought as a war souvenir. On that September day, 13 people died. And it was only then that was considered the worst mass shooting in our nation's history, 1949. On that list, there are a dozen shootings considered mass murders where at least 12 people, not including the shooter, dies. The next shooting does not occur for another two decades. In 1966, when a gunman climbs a bell tower at the University of Texas and shoots 16 people dead. Another two decades later, 1984, and here's where some of us might start to remember. A shooter walks into a San Diego McDonald's and kills 21. It was right after that, in 1986, the post office massacres in Oklahoma. And then in 1991, a Texas shooting in a restaurant. And of course, no one will forget the horror at a high school in Columbine, Colorado, where 12 students and two teachers died before the shooters took their own lives. The first half dozen of the worst mass murders on this list took place over the course of half a century. The remaining six happened in the last 6 years. Virginia Tech, Fort Hood, Texas, just down the road in Binghamton, a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut, and this week at a Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. While the timeline of these shootings only takes into account those where at least 12 people other than the shooter died, the unofficial definition of a mass shooting by the FBI is where the gunman kills four or more people. So with that definition, we can add to the list of communities an apartment complex in Florida, the campus of Santa Monica College, the small towns of Manchester, Illinois, and Herkimer, New York, and a Sikh temple in Wisconsin. Our hearts are sick. The people are crying out. God mourns and weeps. We all wonder if there is a balm in Gilead. Is there no hope that can heal the dismay taking hold of us all? And the American news headlines and personalities may spend an inordinate amount of time covering the latest tragedies in our country, but we know that we are not unique. A shooting rampage yesterday in a mall in Nairobi, Kenya, a car bombing of a funeral procession in Iraq, and a chemical attack on men and women and children in Syria. Our voices join with others across the world and spanning generations join God in mourning the spiritual and moral crisis of God's people. Our voices and songs of lament intermingle with the prophet Jeremiah, who simultaneously cries out and weeps for the people of God and for God about the hurt and suffering of the time. I sometimes find Jeremiah a difficult prophet to follow in the ways in which his writing style jumps from oracles of judgment to individual and corporate laments. He moves quickly from words of salvation to epic descriptions of the troubling times. And even more confusingly to decipher are his words as a prophet, as part of the people of the Israelite community, and his words as the voice of God. This might be because the book of Jeremiah, as we know it, was pulled together through many years after the prophet himself died. As a result, Jeremiah contains many words of the prophet Jeremiah, and words of those who were later writing in his name. But even numerous and careful readings of these verses makes it nearly impossible to distinguish whether the voice is the people or a heart-sick God. And rather than trying to parse out each verb with exegetical precision, perhaps we might consider this weaving in and out and lack of consistent voice as a helpful way to learn more about the heart of God in the midst of brokenness of this world. The people are crying out. God mourns and weeps. It feels like there is no hope that can heal the dismay. And the message the prophet does make clear is the people of God are extremely broken. They have turned away from God and their life in peaceful community and towards the idols of violence, destruction, and sin. Yes, Jeremiah has a lot to say about this, as we all do. In communicating God's frustration and anger about the unrepentant and incorrigible actions of the people, religion has often focused on those feelings. There are many who I am sure are seated here this morning who grew up part of a church in a religious tradition that used the biblical teaching about God's wrath and judgment to guilt or scare people into being good Christians. I don't deny those parts of the Bible exist, but I wonder why religious traditions gravitated towards those passages over and over again, ignoring the one that we heard this morning. In a world where self-interest blinds people to the harm done to others, where greed flourishes because insecurity reigns, where fear drives people into rigid, defensive postures, and violence is the normal response to feeling out of control. When has placing our faith in a vengeful God who punishes the world for its brokenness ever brought about healing? The prophet Jeremiah is often labeled the weeping prophet, with this weaving in and out of his own voice and the voice of God. We are challenged to hear that voice of God in those whose hearts are sick and mourn the hurt of and for the people. To get the feeling of God portrayed in these verses, I am reminded of some cultures' approach to crying at funerals. In some countries, families pay to have mourners attend the funeral, to sit in that front row and cry loudly. These folks are paid to cry and wail as loud as they can to support the family in their grief. In Liao Yiwu's book, The Corpse Walker, Real Life Stories, China from the Bottom Up, he captures this great interview with just such a professional mourner. And the mourner says, as he reflects on his experiences, that most families who have lost a loved one burst into tears and begin wailing when they see the body of the deceased. But when they are overcome with grief and it reaches deep into their hearts, the families and friends often go into a silent shock. And the professional mourner is tasked to continue on crying for as many hours as the funeral requires. This is how I picture God. There with us, crying out in the brokenness of our lives, in our communities and world, even when we have gone into shock and our cries are silenced by the numbness of our grief. And in these times, we may not feel like God is present with us. When the darkness overwhelms us, when we wonder why God won't stop all of this from happening, when all we want is God or someone to just answer why, is all of this happening? And when we become impatient with the lack of answers, we don't need to turn to judgment because we feel ashamed or frustrated in those moments that we don't feel that God is with us. Jesus himself, who fully experienced the presence of God and the suffering of humanity, hung from a cross and wondered, God, where are you? So as we wonder if there is anything that can heal the dismay taking hold, here is where we keep reading, and here is where we keep singing, and hear that voice of God singing deep in each of our souls. There is a balm.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick.
The slaves who sang this African American spiritual also gave voice to great suffering, and they sang the gospel truth, believing that God was suffering and hurting with them. God does not abandon us. This is our hope. This is our balm. And we can look out the window or onto our television or computer screens and see the world and all of its problems. We can feel discouraged and even lose the hope. But the Lord who has gone before us does not, and does not let any of us go. As Paul reminds his student Timothy, God desires for us all to be saved. May the work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives revive our souls again. Amen.
Joanne Vander, last week I had said that our son, grandson had hurt his foot, and he's going to be operated on Tuesday, so we're asking for prayers for a safe operation.
Andrea Unson, I ask for prayers for my aunt, Laura Nolan. She would ask for prayers for good results from her 3.5 hours of testing on Friday. Okay? Thank you.
Jeff Tuttle. Prayers for my mom, who is in the hospital. She went in for knee surgery on Thursday. Everything had gone well. She was recovering the next day and going through therapy, and then she fell and broke her femur right above that, which is really going to complicate the healing of the knee And now she's got to heal the femur as well. And trying to bend that knee is going to make it hard with a broken leg. So they put in surgery again, put in a plate and some screws. So just prayers for her. Thank you.
Scott Lewis. Prayers for my grandfather and grandmother. Today is their 53rd anniversary.
Prayers of joy.
Thank you for that message, Melissa. And in your sermon, you talked about the violence here in the United States within our borders, but it continues to happen time and time again all around the world. I think of the people in Kenya this week and ask for prayers for them and their families. And also just 2 weeks ago in our beloved Guatemala, a group of men came in a stolen car and just gunned down innocent people in a small village outside of Guatemala City. The government, without an investigation, claims it was drug gangs, but all the evidence, circumstantial and otherwise, points to corrupt policemen. And so we ask for prayers that there be peace in Guatemala and peace in the world.
Just a quick prayer for Nathan Stang, our organist, who is presently running the Rochester Marathon. And we just hope his feet stay healthy so he can come and walk on the organ pedals again.
Amen. We have prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for going to Stokey Farms with friends, and joy for tall dads in a corn maze. Prayers of joys for Tuesdays and parachutes, and prayers for a dad being safe at work. Prayers of joy for a brother's birthday, and prayers of healing for all those who are sick and have colds. Prayers of joy for birthday parties from the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. They have a prayer of joy for their new Sunday school room. Prayers of joy for a grandma's birthday, and prayers for a grandma who had knee replacement surgery and broke her leg. And prayers for all grandparents who are in the hospital.
Let us pray. Listening God, everywhere we go, we're offered solutions. From billboards on our highways to experts on our screens, we are pushed and pulled and often confused with abundant advice. We confess, O God, that we forget that you listen to us. You love us and guide us with eternal eyesight. Remind us of your constant presence. Assure us that you are not waiting for fancy words, but instead want to hear us as we are, who we are. Help us to weave prayer all through our days, and remind us that you are not a censoring God, but welcome all our expressions that we offer to you, our Creator. This morning, we pray for those who lost loved ones at the Navy Yard this week. Our heart mourns as once again we see the brutal murders of innocent people. Enlighten us, O God, for we yearn for our country to be one of peace, not fear, one of life, not death. Grant compassion to those making decisions concerning our mental health systems. Grant wisdom to lawmakers as they struggle with increasing gun violence in our nation. And we pray, too, for those in Kenya this weekend who are victims and hostages of brutal terrorism. Be with families everywhere who have lost loved ones due to the battles of violence, wartime battles, street battles, brain chemistry battles, and so many others. Comfort them in their loss. And we pray for those who continue to struggle in the Colorado floods. Shine your light in the midst of their despair. And, oh God, there are those we know and love in our own lives who are going through difficult times. Hear now our prayers as we silently lift them to you. And we ask that you hear us as we join together, saying the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
This morning we identify with Jeremiah. We lament because the need of our funds to help in the world is so great. We lament because there doesn't seem to be enough funds to help, to meet the need. But we are reminded of another passage of Scripture, Lord, where Jesus took the bread and broke it. And it took those little fishes and little pieces of bread and it multiplied. Came many, and there was much to meet the needs of the people. We pray that these offerings will be multiplied and that there will be wisdom given in use of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great is the faithfulness of a God unto all of us. And may we go surrounded in the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to do it another day. Hallelujah. Amen.